Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
1,400 and something. Yes, we're there somewhere. I have to check. My intern, Lanolin, has been late on getting the record together, but I know we're somewhere close if we're not over the hump. Anyway, good afternoon and welcome. As you get ready to settle down for 2+ hours of good food for thought, courtesy of your loving mad scientist here at Soul Radio and the Raw. I'm your host, Mike Lewis, singer DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Radio and the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. You can get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, Radio Reggie down in Richmond, Virginia, the Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Cheryl Jones in Philadelphia, Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit City, Mike Robeson in Oakland, California, and Pat Freeman, the mighty Obot, doing his bang in Western New York, still smoking off his first book, The Art of the Interview, Book 1. Very good read. See it and buy it on Amazon. Brother got it together. And, of course, the rest of the brothers, when they chime in, riding the property right now, we defer to the mistress of Mount Airy, Sonic Cheryl Jones, who is in the mix. Cheryl, what's up, sweetie?
Hi, guys. How's everyone?
Everything is good. And, of course, we have the bad man from East Bay right here. Gary knows. Great. So, Cheryl, since you came in first, we're going to lead off with you. Now, we know the Olympics are next month. And we have some spice in the mix because Simone Biles and some friends of hers are going to go over to Japan if it comes off and rock the house as members of the gymnastic team. I don't know if you've ever been a gymnast, Cheryl, but how do you feel watching gymnastics, and what do you like about it or don't like about it?
Well, I used to take gymnastics when I was in high school. I had to go to public school in order to do gymnastics, and I fractured my ankle. So I wasn't able to continue in high school. It was hard back then. I had to go to girls' Central High School in order to take gymnastic classes. I went to a Catholic school, so it wasn't offered any place but Central. And it was issues then. Back then, they didn't really want, you know, a black child to do gymnastics. I also did ballet. When I fractured my ankle, I was unable to do both. Because my dad always said that there's more to life than football and basketball for a black child, that there are a whole other different avenues that we go. We skied, we played tennis. We did a lot, me and my brothers, that most kids didn't do. So with Sonia Biles, she's just that fucking awesome. They don't know what to do with her. Because they want the gymnastics team to be a great white hope, but it ain't turning out to be that because she medals gold every time.
Yes, she does.
And been doing it for a while. I mean, 7 years in a row. That's dominance. Knowing that she's going to be graded harder, knowing that they will look more for criteria to take away what she does as opposed to laud what she does, I'd say that's amazing, knowing what she's put on the table and the number of people that can't match the standards that she's put up. Gee, what you say?
Well, I think there's also a health issue that we had to address. There's a COVID-19 going on right now.
Right.
These guys should not be going to Japan. I'm sorry. If I was in IOC, you ain't
Yeah.
And look, I'm all proud of Simone.
Mm-hmm.
For all the sisters with her.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be the first time we're all black gym team.
No, it's not all black. They're not all black. The picture that was shown of four of the sisters led folks to believe that the team was all black, but that is not true. And
but
that's okay. Listen, the point is, though, that many of the main performers on the women's gymnastics team are sisters, and they are doing it for themselves. Gymnastics is an individual sport, and of course, gymnastics is like dancing. When you're out there, you can't fake a mistake. You can't fake a fluff. Everyone sees your mistakes, so your focus must be sharp as you're doing whatever you're doing, whether it's floor exercise or the pommel horse or any of that other stuff. You got Tony McClain in the mix as well. But COVID notwithstanding, I'm still of the mind that they shouldn't be going over there anyway because
of the situation
with Fukushima and the stuff that hasn't been talked about. Tony, what do you say?
No.
I think Tony's
No, there's no, I mean, as much as we would love to see another version of the Simone Biles experience,
mm-hmm.
it's not worth it. And see, it's tough because I think this would probably be, I could be wrong, this would probably be her last Olympics, I think.
It would be.
That's the paradox, because you would love mm-hmm. to see her career, you know, end with another gold medal. It's great that she won, I guess, what is her seventh U.S. title?
7 years. Yes, yeah, 7 years time.
Yeah. Unlike Mr. Blutarski and Animal House, this was not 7 years wasted, that's for sure.
No shit.
You know, she's clearly been the dominant gymnast, but you can make the argument that she's arguably been the most dominant athlete in this country
mm-hmm.
during that period of time.
Well,
during that period of time.
There's something else at stake here, guys. No gymnast, at least no gymnast that I know of in the Olympic experience, has ever won the all-around title back to back. Simone would be the first. And as much as they made noise about Olga Corbett and Nadia Comaneci and others who, you know, were of a different persuasion, sister never got a chance to get that done. Now they know there's a very strong possibility that Simone will nail that just like she nails everything in the sport. So to do that over the course of 8 years is truly amazing. And we know that this will probably be our last one because, well, you know, the rigors of gymnastics notwithstanding, it does take a toll on the body. So the dilemma for greatness as opposed to common sense interfering with somebody's health seem to be butting heads right now. And because there's so much fucking money, remember, NBC paid for the rights to the next four Olympics, and they paid that check with a B. Get her there and get her on the podium if she does what Simone does might get drowned in the politics of COVID. Now, we've been talking about COVID long before the ladies got on the balance beam or whatever it is. But it's just as applicable for them as it is for the men or for any other sport. one person dies, there's going to be some serious shit. And COVID has not been tamed. It can still hit people. You're still susceptible to it. And based on where the hell you live, with the maskers and the anti-maskers, whatever the fuck these stupid people are, you can die.
I'm sorry, guys. I had to switch off for a minute. My brother called me to check on me. You know,
no problem.
I had my boots to do, so I'm kind of in pain.
Oh, no.
Talking to y'all.
Michael, this delivery should not be running.
Why did you call?
What was that, Gene? Speak up, y'all.
This delivery should not be taking place in the first place. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Between the COVID and between the Fukushima, see, I would go anywhere in Japan right now.
Right.
It does not make sense.
Well, we know money's pushing this, but how hard a push are we talking, guys? I mean, we know we shouldn't be there, but NBC seems to be cracking a whip behind the scenes. Am I wrong here?
Oh, and also the because they had to, because remember, it's a year, it's already a year late. As it is.
Right.
So there, and see, with all these other sports nationally and globally trying to recoup their losses, they're just part of, you know, they want to recoup just as much. I mean, you know, put it this way. The college football playoff folks are already talking about expanding. And it's not out of the goodness of their heart. It's more because of the money that they lost. Matter of fact, there they go now, as you can hear them in the background trying to recoup their money.
And hear OJ's baseline. Real. Yep.
but it's this is the last part of the whole money grab from last year, because everybody, you know, they've seen how, in a sense, things are back to whatever you want to call normal is.
Right.
So
be normal.
Yeah.
We'll never be normal.
We weren't normal before.
That's true.
So it's, you know, but this is just an extension of the slow money grab that started once you started seeing sports start to come back, and now that fans have been brought back, and look, it's cool. It's nice to see fans and everything like that, because for the most part, there are less restrictions out here now,
right,
because they have the handle. But see, this is internationally, and see,
exactly.
You're bringing in folks from all over the world, and
exactly
that, and see, that's a whole different dynamic. You know, this isn't like this isn't like people going to Wrigley Field to see the Cubs and the Cardinals. This is
exactly
the whole damn world we're talking about here, and you can't be. You know, we see. Like in India, they're still having problems, and I guess some other parts of the world are still maybe not knee deep, but they're still in. And isn't there an area? Isn't like a part of Tokyo still like under
northern Tokyo?
Northern part of Tokyo.
And see, the games are being played all over Tokyo, right? Not just one area.
Yes, they're all over.
So,
they're all over. Yeah.
Nah. I mean, this is. I mean, look. You don't have to be a damn rocket scientist to say to yourself, you know, this is not worth the. I mean, you know, this is blood money.
It's not worth getting us infected all over again with all these foreign countries sending our athletes over here with all these foreign countries. Because let's face it, everybody don't tell the true numbers and how many people are infected and things like this. And it's just United States and all these other countries just fucking greedy. They don't care about the everyday average person because these are the people that are in the game.
I can't believe that.
They're not in the game. They're not the game. They're not participating. They're sitting up far away.
Yep.
And if they don't want to be around us, they don't have to be because they got the money to pay not to be.
Yep. This is
unbelievable.
This is sadly a reflection.
To grab this money.
Yes,
grab this money.
This is sadly a reflection of what they do with black people in most every other cultural situation. If a brother or a sister can make you money, we going to ride that horse until that horse drops dead. And that's how they're looking at these young black ladies. Now, the team, again, is not all black. We've seen pictures of four of the team, and they happen to be sisters. The team's not all black. Long and short of this, though, is that the team is a valuable commodity, and that's how they're being looked at. And that's why they're pushing to get them there and get this done. If these were four little white girls, they would take every precaution to not have them out there. You know.
Of course.
And if there were four little white girls, then they would reflect more on a coach like Bella Caroli or some other asshole. And they would not talk about the girls like teammates. They talk about them like objects. And now that we have this and that the sisters have the hammer, and Biles is most likely holding it, they're doing everything they can to comply on the outside by giving all the decent PR. But on the inside, they're like, get these motherfuckers out there. If you think I'm wrong, consider the case of one Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor was a quarterback at Ohio State, and he was sought after as he was coming into his senior year to play in a bowl game. Remember, he had sold some of his jersey, and they tried to jam him for selling it. Now, of course, this wasn't like that motherfucker Johnny Manziel in the money time, but he sold shit because he needed the fucking money. And they had suspended him NCAA style with their Nazi tactics. But when it came time for the game, the guy who was managing the bowl game said, get his black ass in that lineup. We need him. And didn't they get him in there? And didn't Ohio State win? But Pryor's career was never the same after that. The poison rhetoric that came from the situations that happened to him affected him in his pro career. And even though he had an okay one, he played long enough to get vested, it was never the same. And they can't do this to these kids here because they're not unionized. They don't have an agenda like that, but they do need them. So what's going on in the boardrooms, I think, is probably the most interesting situation regarding all of this. And, of course, the possibility that they may fucking die or get sick over in Japan and contract COVID.
Small potatoes.
Exactly.
Shit. Yeah, it's a clusterfuck waiting to happen.
Yeah, it is.
For lack of a better word.
I believe in about 10 or 15 years, if this goes on, many kids with disabilities.
It's now the date is July 23rd. Am I correct?
Right.
So we're a little over a month away, and I know that they're doing like Olympic trials now and everything else. I mean, you know, I hate to use this term, but what would be the quote-unquote drop-dead date for them to just say, no, we can't do this? See,
exactly.
June 30th.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. Or either, or
somebody just might drop dead by COVID.
Well, see, yeah, like I said, I hated to use that phrase, but I just mm-hmm. you know, what would be the very last date where they could cancel it? Because, see, my guess, and I'm probably being way too Pollyanna, is saying mm-hmm. how much of a hit can we take without having it a second straight year.
Right.
And
see, this isn't a Ralph.
Go ahead.
Now, this isn't a Ralph Nader unsafe at any speed kind of situation. We're talking about human fucking beings here. And I think there's a strong level of insensitivity thrown down here because if we're looking at this from an executive at NBC standpoint, they're talking about who's going to be the ones we need to focus on. And, of course, it's going to be Simone. It'll be the gymnast, but it'll be specifically Simone because she's going to be trying to get a back-to-back all-around title. You know, yes, they'll talk about the basketball.
You know, let me play semi-devil's advocate because, see,
please.
While NBC is definitely playing a role in here, is
mm-hmm.
it now, is NBC being dictated to by the Tokyo government or the other way around? That's the thing. Because, see, my own thinking, even as quote-unquote big NBC is in you know, they're definitely in the boardroom, but I truly think that the Tokyo government is actually controlling this whole thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I think you're right because there are three stadiums,
mm-hmm.
three stadiums have been built in the last 10 years, and those three stadiums are not being used. They
mm-hmm.
have been used for women. See, I think that's a driving thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because see, the thing that people forget is, and we use Atlanta as an example, there were a lot of buildings that were, you know, there were a lot of venues and what have you put together strictly for the Olympic Games. And once the world got out of Dodge,
mm-hmm.
somebody was left, you know, with the bill of maintaining,
mm-hmm.
or getting rid of those venues. Now, a lot of the venues have, you know, were turned into other things. I know the velodrome where they use for, I think, the skating, the whatever, that was redone redone. Turner Field was built before them, but it was built on the premises that's where they were going to play baseball that year, and of course,
right.
you know, since then it's been rebuilt. I think I think Georgia State now uses it for their football. It's been converted to an all football field now,
okay.
for Georgia State. But see again, these buildings, some of these buildings and venues have been sitting idle for two, 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's right.
you know, we built this thing for this and it ain't been used.
Yeah, exactly. Not quite white elephants, but yes, the fact that it was done, they did not get any kind of redress financially because what do you use it for? Who's coming for it? What can you do with it? So they do become kind of relics, even though they're not old. But, yes, what are we going to use them for? What viability
mm-hmm.
to justify building it? Can we use it?
It's literally, whose baby is it? What's your angle?
I'll buy it.
You better. No. You better buy it. Yeah,
there you go. That's right. Fred ain't got no choice in that shit.
Well, see, that's the thing here, man. It's like,
literally
and figuratively, needless to say, everything is being driven by the dollar or whatever, or is it, you know, God forgive me, is it the yen down there?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so whatever,
still
whatever.
The yen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm saying, it's like, you know, I'm thinking the comp. Now, a year ago, they had the conversation, how much of a hit can we gain without
yep.
having this? And the fact that
mm-hmm.
they're literally sitting here a year later, possibly asking that same question, it's got to be driving them a little. It's got to be driving them a little nuts.
Yeah.
Well,
let's look at this.
Again, the IOC. IOC has to do a better job. What I mean is this: the IOC thinks of the city 5 years, 10 years in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
True.
The IOC does not give any money to these cities at all. Period.
That's right.
Or at least like a stipend, but they won't though.
They won't do it.
Exactly. They're not gonna. And this brings up another point. You know, the Olympics are always the first ones to scream politics when something and first to the agenda.
No.
Now, there's nothing more political than putting people's lives in jeopardy. So I ask all of you, if you're a parent of one of these gymnasts and you know what you know about Fukushima and what was going on, would you tell your baby, you ain't going nowhere, you'll keep your little black ass here, or would you give in and let them go? Like, if you're Simone Biles' parents, what are you thinking?
They're going to let her go for the simple fact that the Olympics was supposed to happen last year.
Right.
And, I mean, let's face it, we don't know how long she's going to be this brilliant. You know, she
mm-hmm.
might be brilliant for a minute, but they're not going to tell her no. She's already put her case up about it and everything, so they're going to let her go.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these kids that have that kind of promise, and then you got to remember all the sponsorship she's going to get for going to the Olympics, they're not going to let that
mm-hmm.
money go.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these parents are going to let their kids go because they're thinking about the big picture. You know, all this got to do with being sponsored after the games and how they're
mm-hmm.
going to make a living
mm-hmm.
after
mm-hmm.
the games are over. So, no, they're going to allow these kids to go.
And
I mean,
to be...
We don't have parents like we had parents back in the day. These ain't that kind of parents. These parents is about getting money like their kids so that they can give the life they think their kids owe them for what they sacrificed for getting them where they're gotten.
Yeah.
And to further what Cheryl's saying, you know, and maybe I'm speaking out of line here, but I think you know, Simone Biles and her family are going to be fine. They're you know,
yeah.
I think whether she goes or not, she is still going to reap the benefits of
True.
Being Simone Biles. It might not be the shelf life might not be as long as it would be if there is an Olympics, but I
mm-hmm.
think she's going to be okay. Where this
yeah.
hurts are the non-Simone Biles, the folks
yeah.
where the nameless, faceless folks that when the Olympics, you know, they come from out of nowhere, so to speak.
Exactly.
And this is their
mm-hmm.
this is their one moment in time. Now,
yep.
they've already had to push back everything for a year. Now, remember, most of these folks aren't in the same financial strata or whatever. Simone Biles. I'm not gonna sit here and claim that Simone's making it rain all over the place.
Yep. But she's doing okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, she's high profile. She's high profile enough that she's probably doing okay. But
yes.
with the Olympics, see, not everybody that's gonna represent whatever country is Simone Biles. Where this
exactly.
hurts are the nameless, faceless folks who've dedicated their lives for this.
Yep.
And they're, mm-hmm. and now their lives have already been put on hold for a year, and now they're possibly looking at maybe another year or more for some. And for some, it could be their last, you know, we're talking about this could be Simone's last one, but there's a lot of other athletes where this is it. This could be it. And see, that's that other side of the Olympics that they don't talk about, because once you've basically put in your time, it's not like, I mean, you know, there's some sports where you can quote unquote go pro, but there is no second act here. Unlike Scott Fitzgerald said years ago, there is no second act. This is the first act, first play, and you know, this is the first, last, and everything for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's another aspect to this that hasn't been thrown into the pot yet, and that's the fact that Simone Biles is bitch slapping history. I mean, we know from as far back as 72, over Corbett becoming this little darling of the Olympics and all that stuff, to Nadia, to when Dominique Dawes was the first one there, I believe in 1996, the first sister to make an impact in the sport. Simone Biles has just been off the charts with everything in the sport. She's dominated this sport the way Jim Brown dominated lacrosse and still was doing football as a side gig. And because of this, this clash of history is interfering with the dollars, because we know no matter how beneficent in nature a black athlete is, we know somebody somewhere is going to try to do some big dastardly shit and put some spit on her name by saying, oh yeah, she's seven times, but fuck you. Mm-hmm. Now the fuck you hasn't come yet, but you better believe it's on its way. There's
it already has, Mike, with a small F, though. That's the only thing.
Well, you know that's going to happen, because let's check it, see. Look how long Serena and Venus had a hold of tennis. Look how long. They so damn happy they getting old, they don't know what to do. But let me explain something to you. You still got other sisters coming up in the game. You have the young lady who bowed out of the Grands. I can't think of her name, who I respect highly.
Naomi
Osaka. That they're getting their shit together, because they know how it is in tennis. They don't want these kids coming up, just like they didn't want little black kids to learn how to golf after Tiger Woods. But the thing about it is, we've been golfing for fucking years. We just couldn't get in the country club until Tiger, okay? Because now they want our money, you know? I mean, it's like anything. When we do it well, they always try to look for the great fucking white hope. Ain't none.
Yeah.
We're good at whatever we play. And one of these days, they're going to wake up and fucking realize it. I don't care what it is. Whatever we play, once we learn it, we dominate all the fucking time.
It is what it is. That's true.
And they can't stand it.
Simone is the great thing about what Simone has done and is still doing is that, like many great black athletes before her, male or female, they not only once they pick up the sport, they not only perfect it, they innovate it. And they dominated and they innovated. I mean, she's doing stuff that there's people that think physically could never be done. Now, now see, again, you know, when you look back at how they, you know, went crazy over Olga Kolbit and Nadia Comaneci, compared to what Simone has done, that's you know, it's again, small potatoes in a sense, you know.
Exactly.
Even those American teams with Caroli, when you had, you know, Sherry Scrugg and Dominique,
yep,
and some of the other, you know, Julie McNamara and a few others,
mm-hmm,
they won. I mean, you know, you don't take anything away. But Simone's
right,
taken it too. But, you know, Simone is, you know, much like when the Williams sisters came after Everett and Navratilova, they've taken,
yep,
the game to another level. And
yes,
that's
they have.
And see, that, and see, and of course, the powers that be in the sport, instead of embracing them, are cursing them. Because, see, like you said, Mike,
yeah,
the crazy thing is, for every, say, 5 or 10 folks that want to see Simone get her grand finale, there's,
mm-hmm,
a bunch that literally are like, I hope they do take it away from her so we don't have to see,
yeah,
her dominate. Then we can see, and then our world is right again. Oh, I'm sorry, our world,
exactly,
is white again. So that,
exactly,
so that they don't have to deal with a dominant black athlete. And
exactly,
the sad thing is, it's history repeating itself again. Whether it's Masters Tiger Proof in Augusta, whether it's Major,
mm-hmm,
League Baseball lowering the mound for Bob Gibson.
Yep. There you go.
You know, whether it's the NCAA telling Lou Alcindor he can't dunk. It's history repeating itself. And again, instead of embracing the historical aspect, they mm-hmm, I mean, it's even, and hear me out here, even,
mm-hmm,
baseball going after Jordan when he did his little stint. 'Cause see,
yeah,
and hear me out here. Here is arguably the most identifiable athlete in the world at that time.
Right.
And he, mm-hmm, wants to play your sport. Instead of saying, I'm cool with that. That's, you know, hey, that's
yep,
just about us.
Oh, no,
no,
mm-hmm, we can't have him dominate two sports.
Exactly.
Not baseball.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
I can hear
Jimmy Greek in the background. There's only nothing for the white man.
There you go. He did say that. But think about this. Everything you all said is on point. But imagine trying to be an official grading Simone's greatness. She's doing shit that many of them have never fucking seen before. How are you going to say, oh, she's deducted 0.2 points because she landed with 4 toes down instead of 5. Get the fuck out of here. They don't know what the fuck they're seeing because Simone has taken it to such another level. The level of,
mm-hmm,
officiating. Yes, she's on a grade, yep, that's above what they're looking at. So how the fuck are you going to grade something that you've never seen? How are you going to,
exactly,
grade something that you can't factor in during a routine? It's bullshit.
And the sad part about it is, instead,
mm-hmm,
of embracing the change, they want to,
yep,
punish her for the change.
Yeah,
you know, it's like we see this especially a sport where everything is subjective. You know,
yeah,
there is, you know, look. My whole thing was always, did you know when I was watching, you know, when I was watching the Olympics, or whatever. Hey, did she fall? Okay, give her a 10. She didn't fall off the pommel,
mm-hmm,
horse. That's cool. I mean, look, I've said this several times. I was told as a young person, never put my ass over my head. And that's basically how I look at it with the way these guys are. Oh, guys,
uh-huh,
and gals, should I say. But see, the fact that it's so, you know, and we all remember back in the day, you know, with figure skating, where it would always be like, you know, the Russian judge just gave her a 6. And it's like,
mm-hmm,
fucking Russian judge. But see, a lot of it is just,
yeah,
you know, besides the prejudice, a lot of it is just, like you said, if it's something completely new, they want to dismiss it instead of embracing it.
Exactly.
Well, I got something for you, Scott. Yeah, have you noticed
show.
We got some of our black guys and girls coming up and swimming. That's the next one. They're starting to dominate swimming too. You know, I watch
Cheryl.
Everything.
As a matter of fact, there's a guy from Howard who has a chance to qualify for the U.S. team. Either this weekend or next weekend, I believe.
That's right.
Yes,
I think it's
next weekend.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think it's next weekend, but I know it's either this weekend or next weekend. It's in the next week. As an aside, guys,
you know, with the exception of the U.S. National Championships, is it me or are they literally ignoring the U.S. Olympic trials? Because you can't judge it by the mouse.
No,
I saw something. Someone sent me a meme from online, and it speaks crazily. You know, the mouse has an Instagram page, and they do so many hits or whatever. For the alleged Floyd Mayweather, whatever the hell that was, Sunday night.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They got, like, for a possible, like, 30 hits they could get, they got, like, 27.
Mm-hmm.
For the Simone Biles winning her seventh championship, take a guess how many.
Three.
Nope.
Two.
Nope.
Okay.
Zero.
0.0.
Holy.
Wow.
Shit.
Now, mind you, the state of Florida did not even sanction that whatever the hell it was on Sunday night because it was considered. Because see, officially, this was an exhibition, and look, we know it. You know, we know how benevolent boxing has been and can be, but that's won a national championship 7 times and has been a 2-time Olympic champion, and you basically like ignore her, but you call yourself the worldwide leader in sports.
Oh yeah, they love to say that shit. But to Cheryl's point about swimming, I remember a specific incident at a swim meet where this very curvy sister was chided, not because she drowned, not because she lost the race, but because she won her event, and they tried to say she was too voluptuous to handle it, and they tried to give her some shit about her swimming uniform. I mean,
like when they force some of these wrestlers to cut their hair.
Exactly. So this is like picking that shit out of pepper, that they would go this route. And you did mention that brother who was a wrestler, where they literally made him cut his locks before the meet. And of course he won the meet, and they supposedly suspended or got rid of the referee. I really don't know because the story got buried eventually.
They didn't suspend him. They had to fire him because the mother went after them, and they violated his civil rights.
I stand corrected.
So they had to pay them, and they had to fire him because the parents demanded he be fired. Not reprimanded or nothing else, because if he did it to him, he would do it to someone else. They fired his ass.
So these are examples, Cheryl and Tony, of the level of resentment that brews within the body sport. And it doesn't matter which sport it is.
Yeah, but it's always been like this, Michael. We aren't supposed to be smart enough to do anything. They didn't want us to play baseball. They didn't want us to play football. They wouldn't want us to play basketball. Everything that we go in, we even have good hockey players, okay?
That's right.
That are
black, yes, we do.
Okay, from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. We dominate everything that we learn.
Mm-hmm.
The Africans are knocking them off the board in track and field of the other countries are wiping the United States.
Exactly.
Because they so
but
damn
see, only,
bad.
Only in America does the level of resentment hit as hard as it does. They can make a cutesy movie about the Jamaican bobsled team because they didn't win. Now, they got there and they performed, but they didn't win. So Hollywood doesn't have to downplay their efforts. And, of course, a white man helped them to bobsled. So, yeah, we can work that angle in the story. But let's not kid ourselves. Hollywood is an extension of white supremacy. And whatever they see in their message follows through on that. Now, I don't know if they'll do a documentary of Simone Biles, but I do know Simone Biles is a seven-time champion, consecutive. It's going to take a long time for a white athlete to even get to that level. Serena Williams is a 23-time champion. It's going to be a long time for a white person to even get there. That's why they'll embrace Steffi Graf and Margaret Court.
Michael, it ain't going to happen.
Yes.
It ain't going to happen because you have Naomi Osaka. You have that other young lady that needs to get you've got another black young lady coming up in tennis. They're never going to dominate like they used to. The Williams
sisters
so high that it's unbelievable. It's going to take a lot. And let's face it, some white women ain't got the stamina like a sister got, okay? They don't have the determination nor the drive. They want to look cute and get endorsements and all that. They don't really want to play tennis like that. They don't.
Yeah,
I'm going to
What was the one that went with the Spanish guy's son, Igles Alesi?
Yeah.
His son that's with the white girl, she couldn't pay herself out of fucking paper bag. She had a thing for Serena, a bad fucking attitude and everything. She didn't have no talent.
Oh, Maria Sharapova.
Yeah, she was cute. She didn't have no fucking talent. Not at all.
And Serena been whipping her ass for years.
Ever since. That she stopped playing. She's a prime
One thing, guys. If they mess with Naomi Osaka, she will walk away from the game. I'm telling you
now. It'll be their loss. And see, in a way, she see the most powerful thing about her pulling out of the French Open and the other tournaments subsequently, she did it on her own. And see, the thing is, it goes back to the control thing. They want to be, they don't mind you, to a certain extent, they don't mind you winning, but when you can control the atmosphere, that's the problem. Yeah, really. and Michael didn't have to pull off his top to sing it too. That's a great part. But that's the biggest thing that you see now with the national and media when they're going after Irving and all the folks that they're able to control what they do, and see that's something that they don't want to do. Again, it sort of falls back on Kwame Brown a few weeks back. You know, he was able to control the narrative after having everyone else control the narrative for 20 years, and it pushed everybody back. And see, that's the thing now. You know, if there's anything that's going to be changing over the next few years, it is the control or lack of control that these leagues, whether they be professional leagues or college leagues, control. You know, like I said, we were just talking about the playoffs. They're not doing it because it makes sense. They're doing it because they've taken a hit over the last few years, and they want to be able to. Now, do I think eventually they were going to change? Probably, but it was good. But you know, knowing them, they were going to literally do it being led, kicking and scratching. But now, when they're scratching and they don't see no tens and twenties falling out their pocket,
that's right. Come on.
Maybe we need to look at this system a little bit differently.
What did Major League Baseball just do? Gary, hold on a sec. What did Major League Baseball just do with the Negro League players? In 1969, they said, kiss our melanin-challenged asses. But now that they've lost revenue, now that hockey has a chance to pass them in popularity, all of a sudden, oh, we love you Negroes. You know, come on back. Yeah, we'll include you into the mix like we forgot about talking about you. But Cheryl is right. We see in the black female athletes the same fire and tenacity that the brothers had. When Serena is on her thing and she's willing her ass to come back to whip somebody's ass, we smile because we know we got it like that. When that brother was upset because his locks were gone, he still wrestled and beat the shit out that kid in the wrestling match.
Yes, he did.
When that sister was too shapely in the minds of the judges, she still outswam all those motherfuckers and said,
All it is you just make them more determined. You don't discourage them. You make them more determined, and they show to the world, now how you like me now. See if you can beat that white girl, white boy. No, they can't. No, they can't. As much as they want to make themselves, there are very few white athletes that are outstanding. The white boy that swam, he was phenomenal. You know what I mean?
Michael Phelps.
He was humble with it, and he understood how the game goes. He on there talking about seeing a shrink because he was like, this shit got me fucked up and I had to smoke my damn weed because this some old shit. You know what I mean? He even said it. This some bullshit. Yeah. This shit in here ain't fair. So, you know, they had to put out, well, you know, Mike can smoke weed. Fuck it right. I smoke weed after you motherfuckers. Damn right. I'm a weed smoker. Now
that's right. I smoke them, and then I smoke weed.
And then I started it, and now I'm in business with it. Now,
how do you
like
this
now?
Yeah, really.
I have a question to ask you for a while about this.
Okay, I didn't do it, but go ahead.
Name the last father and son baseball team.
The Griffies?
No. Actually, it was the Rainses, if I remember correctly. When Tim Raines Jr. got called up by the Orioles. The Orioles called. Orioles called up. They signed Tim Raines for like a two-three day contract. Mm-hmm. I think they actually played together. Now the Griffies, of course, is the most is the most famous. I remember watching the game where Senior hit the home run, and then Junior come up and said, "Well, I can't have Dad punk me like that. I got to go get
it." Exactly.
But here's the thing. It just lets you know that even after all these years, historically or what have you, we've always been, you know, pushed to the side, marginalized, damn near tried to kill us, and everything else. And, you know, to quote the great Miss Ma Angelou, we still rise.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
especially
all
with
the
sisters,
time.
You know, in many ways, the sisters have carried the torch even more so than the brothers. You know, talking
yes,
about yeah. folks like, you know, Wilma Rudolph and all those great Tiger Bells from back in the day from TSU,
mm-hmm.
from Evelyn Ashford, from Althea
yep.
Gibson, to, you know, like the folks like, you know, and in the tennis world, you know, people have forgotten about folks like Zena Garrison and Lori McNeil.
Who held
their own. And see, even outside of the realm of sports and politics, has there ever, you know, between Maya Moore and other folks out there, you know, basically the entire WNBA has shown more of an awareness of what have you
yes.
over the years, to the point where one of the, you know, where they told one of their owners, you ain't got to go, but you got to get the hell out of Dixie, if nothing else.
For
and
real.
Ironically, one of her former players bought
mm-hmm.
the damn team, was part of the party.
Sure
yeah. And see,
mm-hmm.
that's the conceit.
That was the politician who ran in Georgia, and she lost.
She lost.
And she ended up losing her fucking team behind her racist
yep.
shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they sure took it the fuck away from her.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And see.
She didn't want to do basketball no more.
No, mm-hmm. no. And she lost the team, and she lost her seat, too, did she not?
Yes, she did.
She did in the election. And the minister won in Georgia. She lost
mm-hmm.
the state.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
no longer a senator.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think she's got enough money to go see the games now, if nothing else. But, you know, she can't even break off that luxury box.
Well, you mean if you're talking about playing on the same team at the same time, I think you're right. But there's a bunch of them now. I mean, the kid Bo Bichette, whose father Dante played, Fernando Tatis Jr., Guerrero.
The Blue Jays basically mm-hmm. have cornered the market on it because you got Bo
yeah.
Bichette, you have
mm-hmm.
Craig Biggio's son, and of course you got
son. I forgot about
mm-hmm.
that.
And of course you got Baby Vlad, who is now
yep.
30 pounds.
Who's now 30 pounds.
Well, now he's 30 pounds lighter, which is going to make a lot of pitchers piss on themselves. I believe he leads the American League in home runs now too. If I'm correct, right? But see again.
Mm-hmm.
This is what has always been the legacy of Black folks, and especially with the Black athlete. You know
mm-hmm.
what's great about what Simone is doing again, and again I always try to harp on this, is that she not only becomes the sport, she innovates and invigorates. Now see, there's
yes.
going to be what will wind up happening is, there will be other Black girls and white girls too that are going to say,
mm-hmm.
"Hey, I got into this because of Simone."
Ten years down the road,
if we're all still here, hopefully, we'll be talking about some other Black females that are becoming early innovators of their sport.
And they will
ask,
mm-hmm.
and when they say, "What got you into it?" they'll say Simone, they'll say Naomi, They'll say Serena. They'll say LeBron.
Right.
They'll say and all that. And see, that scares white folks more than anything else.
It ain't
yes,
so great white hope.
Yes, it does.
Oh. And they're gonna they're gonna prop them up. You know, whether it was Jim Jeffries back in the day, or Johnny Manziel in the modern day, or Kyle Wilson now, they will always try to prop somebody up there on that bullshit pedestal, and people will buy into it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and they'll buy into it because they see the vulnerability of their argument dissipating. The control thing is something that really can't be ignored because they always had the hammer with that. Oh,
sure.
Yeah, we can make an excuse for Jesse Owens because we didn't want his black ass there anyway, but the fact that he did what he did went beyond whatever mechanism or agenda they had prepared. You know, this carries on. I mean, Joe...
And what's so funny about the whole Jesse Owens thing is, you know, that you know they perpetuated the whole thing about he got shunned by Hitler, but he caught more hell when he came back home than he did in the few days in Berlin.
Fuck Hitler!
That's the other part of the story.
Dog him out coming back home, running against a motherfucking racehorse. Fuck that bullshit. You know,
people
casually forget shit like that. You know, when they sat down and had the gentleman's agreement, you know, they knew you can't have these Negroes coming in here fucking shit up by being good at what they do. Even when they finally opened the doors in football in 1946, they did so because Marion Motley was pimp slapping everybody, running through the lines and stuff like that, and so obvious with that 76 jersey that they had to admit, yeah, okay, we better go on ahead and let this be. They knew it was coming,
and that's why they put God's property on such a a high level. Because look,
exactly
how many more opportunities you gonna give this guy?
There you go.
How many more opportunities you gonna give this guy? I mean, he ain't he's 33 now. I mean, that's not old. But when you ain't played the sport, you weren't playing it even when you were
a natural motherfucker.
Now he may catch a bullet in the ribs if he don't play well.
How about that?
But
yeah, we have to remember the pathos and the theory of supposed white superiority. Bernard Malamud writes the book The Natural. You know, Roy Hobbs, the mythical white boy who could just do it, and after years comes back and he's the hero, and the light is bursting from being hit with the ball, and, you know, there's music in the background as Robert Redford runs the bases. It's bullshit. In the book, Roy Hobbs, the supposed great white hero, strikes the fuck out and then descends into depravity because they did not win the game. He did not get the girl. There was no happy ending. But Hollywood and his white supremacist bullshit made sure that there had to be a positive ending. Just like we talked about with the WWE and the NFL scenarios, you can't have any black heroes. No fucking way. And they made sure that that point was brought home in The Natural. I hate that fucking movie. I hate that movie like I think you guys hate Animal House. Same fucking terms.
And they rode that thing to, I guess it's up to six now if you count the Apollo Creed movie.
There's a dozen movies, including the Creed stuff. There are 12 movies where Sylvester Stallone is perceived as a hero. Because you got to remember the original Death Race 2000, the movie driven about auto racing. and Judge Dredd on the
Judge
soccer pitch with Taylor.
Hey, you know, don't forget Judge Dredd. I am the law. Or the law, whatever the hell he was trying to say.
Yes.
But this spirals off into stuff that sociologists want to try to spin on and whatnot. But Cheryl said it right off the bat. Domination. Domination through sheer force of will. We learn how to do it, then we do it better than anybody else. We've seen it in music, too. We've seen innovators in music, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And the musicians respect it because, oh, shit, you with us. Come on in, man, and jam. You know, the singers, come on in and jam. We just did Tina Marie and Isaac Hayes. Here's black folks who don't hate on Tina. They love Tina because Tina was the only American white singer to live among black folks and not treat them like they were fucking poison. She was among that. So there was an ease to what she did. There was an ease to how she went about her thing. And that's why they come pack the house for Tina, because Tina would deliver. She loved them and they loved her. You don't see that. Even with someone as great a voice as Barbara Streisand, who I admit is a great singer, Barbara ain't got it like that. You know?
Oh.
She might have dabbled.
Barbara tries to act like she's like that, but she's not.
No.
It's a front.
And the ones who are phonies like Michael Bolton. Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Over the top nonsense.
And unfortunately, he's from my hometown too. Like Bugs Bunny says, you know, he's always around for a touch. So it's like, you know,
there you go.
Bugs
was right.
Yeah.
So, Gary, first of all, give us an indication of what we're going to find at the top of the hour on the Green Lipper Code.
Well, first of all, we're gonna talk about baseball again.
Mm-hmm.
Leave baseball alone.
This game cannot get out of its own way.
Mm-hmm.
It continues to act stupid, right?
Gary. They're not acting. They stopped acting years ago. That's what Maya said. If someone shows you their real self the first time, believe them.
That's right.
Don't let Professor Fred hear you say that.
I know.
Oh,
I know. And tomorrow night, it'll be Aretha Franklin. We're gonna go to church. We're gonna go to church tomorrow night. And
the final
Marvin Gaye. The final
concert.
Six months
of music lead us to Aretha Franklin and Marvin Gaye tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by Luther Vandross and Sade as our tournament finally winds down. We appreciate everybody.
I knew it wasn't over.
But if we
that's a hell of a finale, though.
Oh yeah, if we can roll back though to where we started at the top of the hour, you know, Cheryl, you're Simone's mom. What are you saying to Simone?
I don't want you to go. That's not gonna work for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's. This is a tough one because I think mm-hmm. all of us, whether you know the sports fan in us and the black family in us, want to see her. We want she deserves a great send off with another Olympic medal. But at the expense of her life.
At the expense of what?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. That's the thing. Because it would be horrible for her to win it and then be leave us literally and figuratively months later.
Exactly. And you know the horse shit that would come from that. Reggie, let me get Reggie in here. Reggie, if you are Simone's father and you know and you've seen her accomplish all these things and you know what might be coming down the road with the Olympics, what are you telling your daughter?
It's hard to say. Good evening, Cheryl. Sorry, I don't know what happened. I couldn't get in, but it's all good. I don't know because she has been the cash cow. Everywhere you go on the scene, and Cheryl, you know, a young lady, she has a lot of people grabbing at her. I mean, I don't think her father's going to help her. But real quick, I want to say this. I don't know if you guys heard about Bo Schembechler's son and the comments he made about his dad back in the day when his son was groped by a doctor, and Bo Schembechler hit his kid in the chest and told his kid to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, that's the kind of bullshit that goes on between Bo Schembechler, the former head coach of Michigan, and also Willie Hayes. So that's some stories we need to look at. But I guess, you know, we'll see. But she's a marketing queen, and she has a lot of people depending on her right now.
Tony, you happen to be Naomi Osaka's father. You know what your daughter's been going through, where her head is at and where it's not at. What are you saying to her if she sat down and had a heart-to-heart with you before the French Open?
Do what you have to do to maintain yourself. There will always be tournaments. There will always be other things, but you only get one life. And you do not want to have that life, you know, in a sense, usurped over people who don't care about you. And I'm sure, you know, to piggyback on one, I'm sure that I would like to hope that Simone's folks had that same conversation with her, and that somewhat factors in. It's a tough nut. I mean, it's really easy for us to say no, don't go.
Exactly.
But there's a lot of extenuating factors in it. I mean, put it this way: if she were to have a big old press conference tomorrow and say, "I'm not going," hey, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Now, of course. They're gonna be like, they're gonna play the whole "how dare you," not like Reggie.
Yep.
They're like, "How dare you not give us what we want?"
Exactly. And the "how dare you" factor is in every sports columnist who thinks they're bigger than the game. If we go back to the movie The Natural, remember?
That's Robert Duvall's character.
Duvall's character. So, you know, look here, I run this. You know, not you motherfuckers who go up and bat and whatnot. I get to say what the story is. You know, it's the old parable, until the lions get to eat all the motherfuckers, the story of the hunt comes from the lips of the hunter. Well, that's what they want. That's what they're losing. So this control thing is, it's a trickle that's going to turn into a deluge, and there really is nothing they can do to stop it, because if Kyrie Irving can have media people around him to protect his interests when he says what he needs to say, if Kwame Brown can drop truth on everybody and talk about mama's cooking being his recipe, right on. That's exactly what they did not want to happen, and that's why this is such a powerful thing. We just see now the Olympics being on the lip of all of this, because this wave of control being dissipated from these bastards is going to change how sport is looked at. The regular media really doesn't want that to happen.
Yeah. End of the day. And, you know, it's ironic that we're starting to see this. I think a lot, you know, if there's anything, quote unquote, good that came out of COVID, it gave a lot of people a chance to really sort of sit back and reevaluate things, you know?
Yeah.
Because we were all home and we were all, you know, whatever, and we had a lot more idle time. And I think for some folks, now, there were a lot of folks that just went back to, quote, unquote, normal, again, whatever the hell that is. But I think for some folks, it gave them a chance to reflect. It gave them a chance to really just sit back and reevaluate things. And I think in the long run, it may wind up being the impetus for a lot of change. And again, it's just scratching the surface. I think it's just scratching the surface in a lot of instances.
It would be. Reggie, what's the biggest difference you've seen in how sports are called from when you were younger as to now? What's the factor that works your nerve or are you surprised by?
The money. I mean, it's crazy money. Is Cheryl still there?
Yeah, she's still here.
Oh, okay. Hey, you know, I was getting out. You're beautiful. How you doing, darling? Oh, I guess she's
gone.
Okay.
Yeah, she's
okay. No problem. No, it's all good. No, I'm just saying, look at the NAS money. Between the money and also now players with the podcast and technology, I'm glad some of them are smart enough to understand that they can get their own message out, and the media is going ape shit now because they can't control the narrative. And as long as these young men understand they can use the money to control the narrative and they can get their message out, then they can also debunk a lot of this bullshit that's going on by the media.
Tony,
and also, real quick, with the transporter portal, with college athletes, now they can go ahead and start to look at their destiny. Because I go back to the Bo Schembechler story. If he did that to his own son and let his son get molested by a doctor, what the ham sandwich you think some of those black players went through back in that day when they were age?
Oh, sure.
No question.
Again, these are just the stories that we know. That, you know,
they buried a bunch of them. And look at Jim Nance. Who that bastard that raped all those young ladies when he was examining them? And he's in jail for life. How long did they cut that up? And real quick, the CNN reporter that was exposing himself during a Zoom conference is now hired back at CNN. I mean, talking about white privilege to the max. Yes, sir. That
who
one.
The
I've got
that?
His name.
Well,
the guy.
Rewind that, Reggie.
The guy. I wish to know his name. Zimmer. I've got his name, but the reporter that was hired by CNN that got caught for masturbating on a Zoom call. If you look at it, CNN, just brought him back this week.
Holy shit. We will definitely follow up on that motherfucker. Tony, you've been an editor for a good while. You've been our editor here at BAS for a while. What do you see as the biggest difference between how articles and the slant were written, like, say, pre-Mouse, as opposed to now?
The bullshit factor. For more than anything else. And I guess it sort of falls back to what Reggie said involved with money. Now it's more about clickbait and, you know, being able to stir the pot, so to speak. Because, you know, again, the one thing I always remembered was, you know, with news, you always knew that there was sort of a TMZ factor from back in the day, even before TMZ came around.
Yep.
Now it's shameless on the news and entertainment side. But unfortunately, now that's become the norm for sports now. I guess the best example was the quote unquote farce the other night in Miami. Now here's the thing. And you know, everybody has their own whatever's in regard to Floyd Mayweather, whether you like him or not. There's some things about him I'm not crazy about or whatever.
Pete, that's Floyd Money Mayweather.
His name is Money. And
well,
brother got paid. I ain't mad at him.
Well, see, here's the thing. See, there's an Ali factor to an extent. And I can see 50% of the people there to see him win, 50% of the people there are to see him lose. But see, here's the thing. Since his retirement, his actual retirement, McGregor came to him about the fight.
Mm-hmm.
This guy who was a reject from Green Acres came to him about the fight. And see, that's the thing. And see, again, you got to remember, white supremacy has different layers. And see, mm-hmm. the very same people. Now, see, after the fight, predictably, you had these folks, because he didn't quote unquote knock him out. Is this going to taint Floyd Mayweather's legacy? And
it
I'm like,
exhibition fight.
Mm-hmm.
Exhibition.
I'm like, look,
I'm like,
look, please,
guys fought our exhibition.
Did Antonio did the Antonio Inoki fight change your feeling about Ali?
Hell no.
Did Joe Lewis going into wrestling change your idea of things, your attitude about Joe Lewis?
No. Nope.
I mean, it's see, the very same people who are trying to question his legacy are the same ones that didn't respect the legacy when it was going on.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
All they're doing is just go ahead, Red. I'm sorry.
No, but see, the thing is, as Michael Wallace said on Fox, if you want to talk about exhibition, Ali and a ton of other boxers did exhibition. So his record was never in jeopardy. But Floyd was so smart to say, I got a YouTube kid. These suckers are going to go ahead and pay. And if you look at boxing real quick, how many former boxers get to enjoy the lifestyle of Floyd Mayweather? Number one, the brother's rich beyond his means. He's enjoying the fruits of his labor. Hell,
you know,
Ali had to take a damn $50 million payout to sell his estate just for his family to survive.
You know what the crazy thing is, Reg?
Yes, sir.
You know, arguably, the two biggest fights this year were, if you go strictly by money, exposure, and all this other stuff,
yep.
Tyson Jones,
yeah,
and Mayweather versus Eb Dawson from the other night.
And see, Mayweather and that one fight made more than Michael Jordan made in his whole basketball career. But they don't want to know about
that. Greg, you got to remember, Episcopalians buy boxing tickets too, so you know it all evens out. But see, that's now the fact that those two fights were arguably the biggest thing in boxing this year.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of speaks to where the sport
has fallen.
But and it goes back to what you were talking about, Mike, about what has changed so much. The spectacle is bigger.
Now, see,
mm-hmm. love him or hate him, Pete Rozelle sold the Super Bowl to the point where you don't even – there's a lot of times you don't care about the goddamn game. You care more about the commercials. You care more about who Judge Reinhold thinks is going to win the friggin' game as opposed to the game. And that's the difference. Because, look,
maybe I'm being
a professional journalistic snob by not embracing that. We have a good little time here when we do our little shows. We know the whole thing with LeBron being the cash iguana and all that other stuff. But there's
I can't make that sound.
Oh, you guys have been making it all that time. Come on. But there is still something about report, you know, who, what, where, when, why, how. And not some bullshit that is fabricated. I think that's the thing, unfortunately, is the biggest difference now, is that it's more about spectacle than it is about the actual event. You know, I guess of all people, you know, it's you're selling the sizzle and not the steak.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
You know, but Mike T, real quick, I'm going to throw this out there real quick. When we look at Saban just signed a new contract, I think, what, $10 million. Hell, you got college coaches making damn near more than the professional in the NFL. And then you have to ask the question. I had to ask the question, how is that affecting, again, our community when a lot of, out of maybe 4,000 young men, maybe 100 going to make it in the NFL. And by the time they get out of the boot camp of Alabama, their bodies are worn down.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll see. He's, you know, let's be fair. Nick Saban is making more money than some of the budgets of some of these HBCUs, and that's including the Division I schools and the Division II schools. In some instances, he's making more. He's possibly making more money than the four major conferences. And remember,
as I said back in the day, we should have been taking our own HBCU colleges in hand and learn how to make money like the white universities, and we because we have the same people on the board that they need to get rid of. They need to bring some youth in, some innovation, and they can make just as much money as they are. Because black people going to pay for football, whether it's at a white university or a black one.
I'll give you a perfect example, sure. When you had young Jesse Jackson Jr. Butting heads with old Charlie Rangel, that's a perfect example right there where the young neophyte trying to come in and move the needle and the old statue standing in his way saying, just like the same thing he did with God, the baddest nigga in the world when it came to the Senate, my man. Charlie Rangel did the same thing to him. Charlie went to say, hey, I'm the young whippersnapper here at the white establishment, and I'm going to take this old head out.
Remember the line in the Joe Clark movie? I'm the head nigga in charge.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he had it done to him when they took him away his seniority and pretty much neutered his ass. And if I can deviate back to where we were, when Tony mentioned about how they're working at the sizzle and not the steak, it reminded me of Wednesday's show when we were talking about Ken Dorsey from the University of Miami and how they had him prepared to be the undefeated quarterback in collegiate history when they knew that Chuck Ealy had been there for years, undefeated, untied, and on top of all of that, they still wouldn't put him into the College Football Hall of Fame. But they were ready to elevate this white boy who, by the grace of God and an interception, did not get to that vaulted spot. And when he came into the pro leagues, the boy wasn't shit. And so when
whether it was Chuck Ealy or Naomi Osaka, we really have to
highlight Naomi because we know she's catching hell because she's mixed. The Japanese, for whatever they want to say,
her mom is Japanese,
her
dad's black.
That's right. The dad's Haitian.
Yeah.
And
the Japan racism is worse than America. That's the sad part about it.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're real racist.
There's no doubt about that. We saw the same thing with Hines Ward, one with the Pittsburgh Steelers. All of a sudden now, the Koreans will accept him because he's a special Negro. You know, Naomi was already special in the fact that she saw as her role model the greatest tennis player, arguably, of all time. And she wanted to be like her. She didn't give a fuck what color she was. When she was out there stroking, she was like, I'm going to whip this bitch's ass just like Serena did.
Yeah. Hey, did you see how they kind of slide and say, well, you know, the 21-year-old beat Serena. They said on the slide. And they really kind of say, well, okay, friend, you out of here. But then that young girl Coco is coming right behind her. She might have got beat in the finals, but she got to learn to lose to get win.
They've been burying the Williams sisters so much, they should just call them the Lazarus sisters at this point in time.
Yeah,
right?
So they keep rising from the dead.
Yeah. But see, you know, that's instead of trying to embrace what they have done, they have spent a lifetime trying to go after them. And it's like, are you, you know, now what? Now what?
Well, I think as this Olympic dilemma continues to manifest, continues to grow, it's going to be an interesting month before they do what they need to do, whether they go, whether they stay, whether conditions force them to stay. All of these are up in the air. But the fact that they need the brothers and sisters, and they just simply won't admit that, is the unspoken story. They need Simone Biles to make the Olympics work. And I don't know if Simone knows that to that level, but if she does, I want her to work that shit so that she gets everything she's supposed to get. What say you guys?
I would like for her, but I don't want her risking her life over there in Japan. I'm going to be honest.
I agree.
It's not worth it. Because Japan is worried about is money. They're not worried about those taxes.
Foreign
countries don't clean and sanitize the same way we do. They don't.
Right.
They just do. And we already know that we have people here that's dirty. So imagine how it is over in Japan.
Hey, here's my question to you. With corporate America and the pressure on her, we know she might not want to, but the outside pressure, because Cheryl, you know politics. How can she decipher not only her life but politics, how she can move forward? Because if she don't make it, they're gonna make sure that they cut her legs out to get no more endorsements. They're gonna definitely try to grab her money.
Well, we know that's not gonna happen because she is the best. She's not going to go over there if she goes and not win. That ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, what they going to do when she do? Because the bar will be as set as high as it can go. And I don't see anybody taking her record down no time soon.
Yeah.
But
what
you
say
they're going to treat her just like precious gold? They're going
to
have like an army? Right. Do you think they're going to have, like, an army around people to try to make sure everything is sanitized? Because I got a feeling they're going to try to go way out of their way to get any kind of technology to make sure those athletes are safe because of the money. Maybe I'm naive, but I just get that feeling. Even not for just the September Olympics.
I would hope so, but I don't know.
Okay.
It's clear we know some pushing and shoving is going on behind the boardrooms, and they don't want it to come out. You know, for Simone, it's as easy as let me go back to what I'm doing and perform, dominate, and I walk out with a smile. And that's the other thing, you know, you got to have that smile. You know, we got to have inoffensive Negroes smiling to hold us, well, not hold us, but to keep us at ease. We surely can't have them upset and angry at us, no. So, as long as Simone is smiling, everybody all right. And unfortunately, until COVID wipes the smile off somebody's face by taking them out, that's exactly the way they want it. Let's weigh these things, let it marinate a little bit, and let's get to our final thoughts. Cheryl, good to see you back on the scene again, darling. Please leave something to give us some thought about and a shameless plug.
Well, whatever smile, whatever her decision she makes, I hope she makes the right decision for her. I hope that God bless her, keep her safe over there if she's going to go. I'm pretty sure she's going to go because this is the last time she feels because that's the mindset of the game, that she can go over there and win these kind of medals. So
right.
I hope that she be safe. And, you know, she whoops ass over there, which we know she is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And
shameless plug, my love.
Little Scholars Academy, we educate our your kids' mind, 2010 Lawn Street in Philadelphia. We offer summer camp. The number is 215-342-9500.
Thank you, sweetie. Reggie, give
us
something to think about, please.
Well, first of all, Cheryl, you know, baby, I didn't flip you like I wanted to because we had technical problems, but it's all good. But love you, sweetheart. Keep up the good work. What really pisses me off is that you got the DOJ of the Trader administration going out of their way to make sure that they got the goods on their adversaries, a.k.a. the Democratic Party. Now, I don't know if y'all follow this, but Judge Garland, now in charge of Department of Justice, said that the Trader race a piece of shit, Trump. Words cannot be held against him when he talked about the individual say he raped her in the elevator. Now, people are obsessed about this because now they're saying, look, you overstepped your boundary. And I don't know what the ham sandwich going on with the DOJ, but why in the ham sandwich, the occupier of the White House, the racist piece of shit, still is walking free man is beyond me. Because what they did to the Black Panther movement and Black Lives Matter, and a plethora of other organizations, their ass is locked up instantly, but these pieces of shit are still walking around free. Something's just not right. Something's just not right.
Because
I
you
agree.
Know, Reggie, they have to clean house. They're finding out all these people that were doing his dirty work. Now they got to go through the FBI, the CIA, and all of them and clean fucking house. They shouldn't have to, but they do because all this dirty shit is coming out on how they were all these senators and stuff that think they fucking safe. They, all this shit is coming out. All this shit is coming out.
I don't know how much longer
Mitch McConnell to sit back and try to act like this shit didn't happen. It did. And it's more, the more they're digging, the more shit they're finding.
Right about
well,
that.
I hope New York hurry up and turn the point on his ass.
Yeah.
And,
you know, Biden wrote a big ticket, and he's trying to keep his word with the ticket that he wrote. So, they digging up a whole lot of shit.
As long as that bastard's in the jail, I don't give a fuck what happens. I just want his ass locked up and his son's too.
There you go.
But I digress.
And
put his daughter in there, too. And his daughter.
Yeah, it's going to happen. The whole damn family.
Kind of family
wing
for those motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
A family friend.
Well, family, thank you for coming in and giving some light to everything. Cheryl, I am happy that you are back, my love. I'm glad everything came out okay. Reggie, we will see you down the road, my brother, at the top of the hour at the Great Lipper Cove.
Yes,
before
sir.
We sign off, the brother departed, and he definitely had some flaws, but Paul Mooney was one of the sharpest minds from a comedic and societal standpoint that we've seen in a long time. He's no longer on this mortal coil, but his words always carry weight, and we're going to leave you with a little bit of those before we step out. Again, we'll see you at the top of the hour at the Great Lipper Cove.
You know, they will let white folks make a movie about any goddamn thing. Look at Hollywood. Scissorhands, give me a fucking break. Somebody is on crack. Somebody smoking a pipe at the studio. Somebody at the studio is smoking crack. Scissorhands, throw mama from the train. Only white folks can throw their mama from a damn train, and it's a hit fucking movie. Ain't that some crazy shit? Throw mama from the goddamn... What's the other thing? White men can't jump. They don't have to. They own the team. Some white man is at the bank right now. Ooh, my niggas are jumping. Oh, jump, nigga. White daddy make you jump. Jump. Oh, jump. single white female. They'll let white folks make a movie about any fucking thing. But I knew they were crazy when they let them make Driving Miss Daisy in the 90s. Driving Miss Daisy? Fuck Miss Daisy. I will walk before I drive some goddamn Miss Daisy. Some old Jewish woman, I'll take a bagel and beat the shit out of Miss Daisy. This is the 90s. I'll drive that bitch to an alley and rob her. I will do a carjack. Miss Daisy would be on the fucking bus. She fuck with me. See, a lot of you are relating, but a lot of white folks are not laughing. They're holding back because they love that Tar Baby, Aunt Jemima, let's go back bullshit. Oh, Miss Daisy, and I love it. Fuck that. I don't like that cooning, happy slave bullshit. See, you're white. You can go back. Back to the Future. They like all that shit. You can skip on back. Your little ass is white. I go back. I can only go back so far. Then my black ass is in chains. Fuck you. I'm not going back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Come on, nigga. Come on back. Come back to Jamaica. Come on. No, I'm going to stay here in the 90s where I can tell you to kiss my black ass. I didn't like the ending of that movie. And the rest home, he's feeding it. Oh, you my best friend. I said, look, poison this bitch so I can go home and get to sleep. What they going to do? Let Spike Lee write and direct part two? Driving Miss Daisy some more? But my favorite, I have to confess, I swear, don't tell anybody, Lassie. I love that fucking Lassie. Was that a smart dog? God damn, that dog was smart. Remember how Lassie used to start? That was Lassie whistling. That dog was smart, wasn't it? And then they talked to Lassie like Lassie was a person. You know, they just, white folks talk to Lassie like they grew up. Lassie, hey, Lassie. Hi, girl. How's your mom? Oh, Lassie. I love you. Call me in an hour, Lassie. I mean, talk to fucking Lassie. I saw one episode where Grandpa drove him somewhere, remember, and had a heart attack. Lassie drove him to the hospital and made a left turn. I said, God damn, Lassie, this is a smart fucking dog. Lassie got dogs killed. I had a little mixed ghetto dog. I must have hit that dog in the head with a hammer. I said, motherfucker, if Lassie can do it, you go do it. I said, you better talk back. I'm going to give you to the Vietnamese family. I bet they'll make your ass talk. You'll holler for help. I bet they'll make you talk. Oh, but that lasted. And then one episode, they got burglarized. They said, oh, girl, what did that take, girl? What? Were there any niggers? Any dark one girls? Any real dark ones? That black girl? Make out the police report last year. I used to always like put, you know, your race because you're black into movies. I always thought Frankenstein was a nigger. No, because all the white folks were always chasing Frankenstein. Right? Got him! Got him! He was always running like a nigger. And he grunted like niggas. And when he catch him, he's just like a nigger. He'd whoop their ass. Like he said, threw motherfuckers all over the place. I said, get him, nigga. He steals shit, remember? And then white people were scared of him like they're scared of niggas. Oh, what was that? What was it? Niggas behind it to them? That shit used to fuck me up. I'm sorry. He'd be trying to catch that nigga, wouldn't he? Some crazy wild shit. No, that's why I can't get ready for the shit. The movies are crazy. White films, I'm sorry, white folks, it's crazy shit. One thing in Hollywood, they don't like black men and they don't like white women. You white women here, some of you are uncle women, so you know what I'm talking about. But the ones that are up on the shit, you know the game. You watch the movies come out of Hollywood, what they think of white women. They don't give a fuck about a white woman. They put you with freaks, Beauty and the Beast. Come on, that's bestiality. A white woman with a fucking monster. I know a monster when I see one. Oh, it's his insides. Fuck that. That's a fucking lion. Have a white lady fucking him all night and shit. Come on. Don't take your kid to see that shit. 4 or 5 years from now, your kid will be in the kitchen fucking the dog singing Beauty and the Beast. Sick shit. King Kong. They ran to get that white woman. Oh, get a white woman. She'll fuck that big gorilla. Get a white woman. Princess and the Frog. Oh, get a pretty white woman. Get a frog. That's freak shit. And a fucking frog. Elephant Man. I love you. White lady. Swamp Thing. White woman. I love you. The fly. Big old green eyes. Thorn. Get a white woman. I love you. Sick shit. That's sick white shit. Put a black woman in these movies and see what the dialogue change. Put a black lady in The Fly. You big-eyed motherfucker. You'll never buzz on this pussy. I bet when I get this black flag, you get the fuck out of my face. Swamp Thing, you better get your ass back in them pot of greens. I ain't through cooking them greens. Frog, Elephant Man, lion, get your ass in the car. We're going to the zoo to find you somebody, because ain't a goddamn thing happening here. But they just give the white woman dumb lines. I love you. They don't give a fuck about the white lady. If they ain't raping a white lady, if they ain't sexual, if they don't have you fucking everything in the movie, then they chopping your head off. White women aren't safe in a dream. If you fall asleep, Freddy gets after your ass. Freddy gets after you. You cannot be safe in the goddamn dream. And then you guys wonder why the serial killer wants you. He goes to the movie, and the movie says, kill the white woman. In fact, kill about 50 of them. That's some cold shit. And the deal. I get a little carried away because fuck it, it's real. But that's why I can't watch television because it's too wild. Because they got crazy shit on Star Trek, the new generation. Who's writing this futuristic stuff for black folks? Who's writing this? One nigga's blind, the other one like his mother fucked a turtle. Who's writing this? Whoopi Goldberg running around looking like a fugitive from a pancake box. Who's writing this shit?
future than it will be. I see the future that it works.
If you think about the future.